Okay, Christians believe that Jesus is both the message and the messenger. All right, Christians believe that Jesus is a revelation from God because he is God the Son. He's God himself. So God the Son becomes human. And he reveals to us who God is, what God wants, what God has done, what God wants us to do. And the place that we find out about Jesus is the Gospels at the start of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that's where we find out about Jesus. Now, the big question then becomes, is there any reason that we should trust the Gospels? Is there any reason that we should believe these Gospels? Quite often people talk as if... the Gospels were made up 100, 200, 300 years after Jesus was born. These are tall tales told by people who didn't know him. Nobody believes that. Anybody who has studied the Gospels knows that that is not the case. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were certainly all written within two generations of Jesus. Mark was definitely written within a 30-year period after Jesus' death. The others might have been written within that time period, but you know, Luke and Matthew, maybe 50 years after. I'm talking about two generations. Now, a lot of people think, oh, right, so there's a huge big gap in time there. There's bound to be inaccuracies. But what we're going to do here is we're going to look at three figures from history. First is Hannibal. Hannibal Barca. Now, not Hannibal Lecter, completely different person. Hannibal Barca, famous general, invaded Rome, famous for marching over the Alps with elephants. You might remember pictures of that from primary school. He marched over the Alps with elephants, invaded Rome. He was actually one of the greatest generals in history. People still study him today. He was one of the first guys in military history to work out, surround the enemy and destroy them. And he annihilated a massive Roman army at the Battle of Cannae. Terrified Romans. Ran rampant over the land for years. Eventually, he was defeated 201 BC. By a guy called Africanus, at the Battle of Zama. Okay, so what's the big deal? Why mention Hannibal? Well, Hannibal, we don't have any information about him from his own lifetime. We don't have any books written about Hannibal in his own lifetime. We have a Greek historian called Polybius, who wrote maybe 50 years after these events happened. We've got Livy, who wrote 59 BC, again, a huge distance. Appian wrote 95 AD. We're talking about hundreds of years in some of these instances. Now, why would you trust a book written about Hannibal maybe over 100 years after he was fighting these wars? Why would we trust a book written by Polybius, who was writing 50 years after? Why do historians trust these guys? For a very simple reason. They had access to books that we didn't. They could get access to writings that we can't. And what they could do is look at writings from people who were alive at the time. So we can trust what they say. And Polybius is a very interesting character. He was one of the first guys to really promote this idea that you needed to go out and interview people. You needed to go out and try and find people who were around at the time. And Polybius actually went out and interviewed people who knew Hannibal or who were in the areas where Hannibal was whenever the war took place. We know that there were a number of Greeks who traveled with Hannibal, who were on Hannibal's side. We don't have anybody writing anywhere near the time who thought Hannibal was a great guy. But we do know a number of Greeks went with him, thought Hannibal was great, wrote some history from Hannibal's point of view. And so these guys could go back, look at what those Greeks said, look at what the Romans said, write their histories, and we trust them. Second guy, we're going to look at Alexander the Great, famous for conquering just about anywhere he happened to go. Went from Greece right over into Persia, right over to India, conquered the known world in his day. Again, one of our chief sources for Alexander the Great is Arrian, who lived more than three centuries after these events occurred, 300 years after the events occurred. But Arrian was able to use older sources lost to us. Arrian was able to go back, for example, to some of the generals who served with Alexander the Great. So, for example, one guy called Ptolemy, a general, wrote this history of Alexander the Great. Another guy was Callisthenes, who was an historian Alexander employed. Aristobulus, a junior officer in the campaign. All these guys wrote histories. And Arrian could go back and look at those. Now, they've been lost. A lot of cities got destroyed in wars. A lot of libraries were burnt down. We don't have access to those histories, but they did. So we trust Arrian because he could go back and look at writings from people who were around at the time. One final guy, Herod the Great. Herod, we know a lot about him from a guy called Josephus. Josephus was born about AD 37. And Josephus wrote the history of Israel, a book called The Antiquities. He wrote a lot about the Jewish and Roman War, which you'll find out maybe a bit more about if you look more into the Gospels. Again, Josephus was writing a lot of the time about events that were happening 60, 70, 80 years before he was born, sometimes much further back. But when it comes to the life of Herod the Great and everything that went on in his family, and Herod the Great, his family rows and affairs and all those things are worse than anything you're going to see in any soap opera, Josephus knew a lot about them because he could go back to people who were around at the time. For example, Nicolaus of Damascus. He was a guy who worked in Herod's court. He had worked for Cleopatra. He had worked for Antony. He was well known. We don't have his books. They've been lost. Josephus did. So they can go back and look at the works of people who were around at the time. Okay, so let's go back to Jesus. We're talking there in the case of Jesus. Much better than Arrian, not 300 years. We're talking in the case of Jesus, the Gospels were written down 30 years after Jesus died. Why trust them? For the simple reason, they could go back and talk to people who were there when Jesus was alive. That's what they could do. And why would people be able to give them good information? Well, there's some very, very simple reasons. First of all, and this is very important, a huge difference between Jesus' day and today is that you can take notes in the back of a book. They couldn't. There weren't any books. People could maybe get little papyrus scrolls or little wooden tablets and write down some notes. And the Jewish people were probably more likely to be able to do that than any others because they had the Bible, the Torah, and it was important for them to be able to read and write. They could scroll down some notes, but you had to be a trained scribe to write in one of those huge scrolls that you see. That was like a work of art. So you had to be really trained to be able to read and write on those huge scrolls. So how did the ordinary people carry information along? They couldn't Google it. Can't go to Wikipedia. They memorized. They were extraordinarily good at memorizing information. They might scroll down notes to help them memorize. And if we look at the Gospels, we know that tax collectors and some fairly well-to-do individuals, for example, there was a woman called Joanna, who was the wife of Cusa, who worked in King Herod's court. So some well-to-do individuals were following Jesus. Some people who could probably write a bit, they could take down some notes. But what they were going to do that was something that you would never dream of doing is memorizing. If you can imagine being in class when I speak and you repeat after me, and then I speak again and you repeat it again, and I speak and you repeat it again, and that's how we spend the next hour or two or three. That's how class would go. People were extraordinarily good at memorizing. They would use notes to give them prompts. But if you look at the teachings of Jesus, Jesus used parables. Now again, I dare say that I could stand here and tell you the parable of the lost son, sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost sheep. And if I told it wrong or incorrectly, you could correct me. You could point out where I'm going wrong. Yet you will never have read that parable in your life. Not in your life. You'll have heard it 3-4 times at Sunday school. Maybe once or twice in primary school. After hearing it 5 or 6 times, it's a simple story. It sticks in your head. And so you know how the story goes without ever having read it. Your memories are actually extraordinarily good. A number of you will be able to tell me the lyrics to pop songs. yet you've never read them. You've never read them, yet you know the words backwards and forwards. You've just listened to it so many times that you could probably sing me a good rendition now. So we're actually extremely good at memorizing. And they did this in Jesus' day because paper was expensive. And in the Gospels, time and time again, Jesus will say things that are easy to memorize and to pass on. We know that that was a big, big part of education in Jesus' day. There were guys called rabbis. And we know from Josephus that the Pharisees were really good at going out and getting people to memorize. They would memorize a tradition or a teaching. They would pass it on to others. And they would memorize it and pass it on. This was something that was going on in Jesus' day. A big part of education in those days was how to memorize. We know that from guys like Quintilian and Seneca who were writing around that time. You didn't have to get things word for word right, but you did have to get it roughly right. Here's the big thing. Some people think that the Bible's a bit like Chinese whispers. You heard of Chinese whispers? The idea is one person says, you know, starts with a story, passes on to the next person, to the next person. By the time it gets around the room, it's a completely different story. That's not how memorization worked. Teacher would tell a huge group of people. You always repeated the story to a group of people and memorize it with a group of people, and you could correct each other. The group would keep control of what was being said and what was being done. So, in many ways, the Gospels actually have an advantage over the books that Arian went to whenever he talked about Alexander the Great. Jesus was a teacher and would have promoted memorization. Whenever the Gospel writers would go back to the disciples who knew Jesus, they were going back to people who had memorized these teachings, who had memorized what Jesus said, and who had memorized what Jesus did. Because the early church got a hard time. The first Christians in Israel got a really hard time because of who their leader was. Jesus was a crucified man. Crucified men were the worst criminals imaginable. And so people wanted to remember this man they were getting a hard time for. They wanted to remember the truth about him. So what he said, what he did, memorized, passed on. There's people that the gospel writers can go back to. We know, again, from Paul as well, the letters in the New Testament, once you get past the Gospels, you get into a section called the letters, Romans, Corinthians. Nobody doubts they were written by Paul. They're very early. And Paul, for example, to the Corinthians, will keep talking about, look, there's things that I passed on to you and I want you to, you know, carry on to others. He's talking about memorization. This was a big part of what the church did. If we go to Luke, the book of Luke, Luke and Acts of the same author, right? The guy who wrote the book of Luke wrote the book of Acts. And he starts by saying, many of us have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first eyewitnesses. And again, he's talking about memorization and things being passed along. And he's also pointing out that to write a gospel, you had to go and talk to eyewitnesses. To write a gospel, you had to go and talk to eyewitnesses. The same writer begins the book of Acts this way. In my former book, Theophilus. Who did he write the book of Luke to? Since I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I decided to write an orderly account for you, Theophilus. Acts and Luke were written by the same man to the same person. What's the big deal? Well, Luke, whenever he writes the book of Acts, the author of Acts gets things incredibly correct. He talks about the magistrates of Philippi as being strategoi. He says that people in the magistrates in Thessalonica are politarchai. And most people hearing me say that are going to go, what are you talking about, Veil? What's that got to do with anything? It's a bit like this. If you were to go to, let's say, Banbridge, somewhere like that, and you were to meet somebody, and you were to say you went to the City of Armagh High School, and they were to say, oh yeah, I know that school really well. It's got about, a dozen teachers in it, doesn't it? You'd say, well, they maybe know the school, they maybe don't. But If somebody were to say to you, I know the city of Armagh High School really well, Mr. Veal's a head of RE there. There's an English teacher, there's two English teachers there, isn't that right? There's a head of English and one other English teacher. There's one vice principal and there's one principal. And the vice principal, his name is Mr. Crooks. And the principal, his name is Mr. Turkington. And there was an older principal there, and his name was Mr. Rolston. You would know that that person knew this school very well, because they get the names right and the job titles right. Now, whenever we get to the book of Acts in the Bible, whenever you get to that book of Acts, what you get to is this author getting things exactly right time and time again. Now, he couldn't go to Google. He couldn't go to Wikipedia. He couldn't look these things up. There were no libraries that you could go to for job descriptions. The only way he would have this information was if he talked to eyewitnesses, if he spoke to people who were there. So the author of the book of Luke was somebody who spoke to eyewitnesses. We know that from Acts. So, teachings about Jesus are memorized and passed on. The Acts of Jesus are memorized and passed on. The writers of the Gospels would go to eyewitnesses. So they could have wrote good history. Did they write good history? You can look at a lot of paintings of Jesus that look very, very realistic. And you know that the people weren't there. Because Jesus was not a white European. And he didn't live in nice European countryside. Looks realistic, but you know it's not realistic because whoever paints those paintings was not there. Jesus was not a white European. They have pictured him all wrong. Do the Gospels picture Jesus right? Do they know the times? Well, yeah, they do. For example, there's little things that show that whoever wrote these Gospels knew the area and the time really well. If you go to Jericho, there's a famous little guy who climbs a sycamore tree in Jericho called Zacchaeus. Interesting thing about Zacchaeus is he's a tax collector. And there's only one very short period of time when there would have been tax collectors in Jericho. It's time when that little kingdom in Israel was split up into different areas. And over in one part was an area run by Herod Antipas. Over in the area where of Jericho, that was run by the Romans. There would have been tax collectors in that town of Jericho. The Gospel writers get that exactly right. You get 20 years later, when these Gospels are being written, there wouldn't have been tax collectors there. Again, evidence that people had gone back to talk to eyewitnesses, or the information had been passed on. Whenever Jesus talks about John the Baptist, he says, who did you go out to hear? Who did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind. And people look at that and think, what's he talking about? Well, Herod Antipas was a bit of a character. He got into a row with John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, when he was married, fell in love with his sister-in-law, who also happened to be his niece. He divorced his wife and he married her. His name is Herodias. Married his brother Philip. But before that, John the Baptist, and we know this from Josephus, by the way. Josephus records this for us, the historian I talked about earlier. John the Baptist criticized Herod fiercely for this. And Herod Antipas had at the time had minted little coins. On the back of the coins minted by Herod Antipas were little reeds being shaken by the wind. So in other words, when Jesus said, who did you go out in the wilderness to hear? Did you go out to hear Herod Antipas, the wind shaking and the wind blowing the reed? Or did you go and hear John the Baptist? You wouldn't have known that unless you were there and at the time. You wouldn't have known that. So we have information that's been passed on that's accurate that only people who were there at the time would know. There's also a lot of information in the Gospels that are just not relevant to people living way later on. For example, Jesus tells people what to do when they're going to the temple to make a sacrifice. He says, if you're having an argument with your brother, he says this in the Sermon on the Mount, if you're having an argument with your brother, first go be reconciled to your brother, then go and make sacrifice. Two reasons that's important. First of all, in Jesus' day, there were all sorts of rows going on about who could and couldn't make sacrifices. And some people said, well, You can't make sacrifices. Everybody's agreed you couldn't go make a sacrifice if you touched a dead body. You were unclean. But, says one person, what if I'm pouring water into a river and there's a dead body in the river? Am I unclean? And one group of teachers said no, and the other group of teachers said yes, because the uncleanness travels up from the dead body into the water, up the water pouring, out of the jar, into the jar, onto your hands, you're unclean. This is the sort of thing they were arguing about. Jesus says, no, listen, you've got this back to front. Don't worry about things like that. What you worry about, have you fallen out with your family? Have you fallen out with your friends? If you have, don't make sacrifices until you get that sorted out. Secondly, and this is really important, the temple is where you made sacrifices, and that was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. So from AD 70 until today, you can't make sacrifices. Now, if the Gospels were just being invented by a group of people who didn't care less about what Jesus said, who were just making up stories, why would you make up a story about what to do when you're making a sacrifice? Nobody can make a sacrifice. If somebody was making this story up 30, 40 years after Jesus and was just inventing the story, why invent the story about sacrifices if nobody can make them? The only reason that story would be in the Bible is if Jesus really said it. And people remembered him saying it and remembered it was an important point. And that shows that the people writing the Gospels are not like the people who drew the portraits of Jesus that have him with nice white skin and nice neatly cut hair and looking like he came from Portadown. Okay, the people in Portadown maybe aren't the best examples, but looking like he's a nice, beautiful European man. These people who wrote the Gospels knew the place, knew the time, talked to the people who were there. They knew it, they understood it.
Archaeologists have also found a synagogue in Capernaum.
And there's a Roman centurion, a Roman officer, who is praised by the people in the Gospels. He probably just worked for the Romans. He probably wasn't actually a Roman, but the Jews come out and say, listen, this guy's really good. He's the guy who made our synagogue. Like, the synagogue is a big deal. And lo and behold, whenever they found the synagogue that would have been used in Jesus' time, it's a very impressive synagogue. Just like the Gospels record. So these Gospels were written by people who knew the time. And again, what's also impressive is what the Gospels don't say. If you're making the Gospels up, we know from the letters in the Gospels that there are the letters in the New Testament. We know from the letters in the New Testament that there were all sorts of rows going on in the church after Jesus died. And I believe was resurrected. People were arguing about if somebody who wasn't a Jew became a Christian, did they have to get circumcised? If somebody wasn't a Jew who became a Christian, well, was if somebody who was a Jew, were they allowed to eat with them or not? How should Jews and Gentiles treat each other? Jesus never mentions one of those topics, not once, not ever, not in the Gospels. Now, if you were making things up, that's what you would want to make up. You'd want to get those rows sorted out by inventing something that Jesus said to get everything settled down. There's nothing in the Gospels. Pardon. There's no teaching in the Gospels to tell people what to do after the temple's disappeared. Temple's destroyed. The Gospels doesn't get into that. There's all sorts of things left that you can read through the entire big sections of the Sermon on the Mount, and there's nothing mentioned about Jesus' resurrection, nothing about his ascension, the things that were so important to Christians, they didn't add those into bits when Jesus didn't mention them. So they didn't make things up when it suited them. The people writing the Gospels did not invent things when it suited them. They had knowledge of the time. They showed that they understood the time and the place in which Jesus taught. They show that they understand the villages. They show that they understand how village life worked. They show that they understand that there was a big, important, impressive synagogue in Capernaum that an officer who worked for Rome had built. And we found that, the archaeologists have found that synagogue today and can go to it and point and say, yes, look, in Capernaum, this place where people thought there was no synagogue, there's the synagogue, there's the building. It was impressive. They show a knowledge of the time and the place. So they knew about Jesus. They recorded accurate information about Jesus. They didn't make things up. So the bottom line is, like any work of ancient history, we can trust what the Gospels say.